I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erieoki. Join me and my friends as we explore the darker side of the Sooner State.
Here we go. I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erieoki, and I'm here tonight with Johnetta Rhodes. And surprise, my voice is back. So you guys know I posted in the group tonight because Johnetta and I had an episode that we were going to do, and then I lost my voice, which was kind of like as a result of allergies. It wasn't entirely gone, but it was easier to explain it that way.
Still a little scratchy.
Exactly.
So it's probably best to not have like a full story
exactly
that you have to read out to me. So we decided that questions would be more appropriate.
Fun, more appropriate.
And
fun.
Yeah. Easier. I guess that's a better word. Yeah. Not appropriate.
No, we decided we're going to do just questions, and you guys sent some great questions into the group. So I'm going to let Johnetta take it from here, and I'm going to answer whatever she asks me, and then she's going to answer. So she's kind of doing most of the work.
Okay. Let's start with this really long thread.
Okay.
Because this one's got a lot of questions.
Oh, I'm excited.
What is one rule you generally stick to in life?
Man, that's deep. That's like deep. That's okay. Do you know yours?
I think what I would say is that as I've grown older, the one rule that I find that I do stick the most to, and this might go back to that whole empathy thing that we were talking about today, was that, what I stick to and what I strive to stick to is that you are only responsible for yourself in life, really. I mean, there are things that you can do, obviously, that can help the community as a whole, but we're not getting into that.
Yeah.
Personal things aside, or community things aside, I think it is always smart to always serve yourself first.
Yeah, I would say that's solid advice. That's a good one to live by. One that I don't live by.
Ain't nobody gonna have your back but you, girl.
Yeah,
ain't nobody gonna have your. I mean, like, people will, but at the end of the day, like, you are the hero of your own story. Mm-hmm. You are the person that has to go through that journey yourself.
Right, yeah.
You have to be that person
for yourself.
You gotta bring
that main character energy
to your own life. You know,
yeah,
and know, like, it's like a boundaries thing. It's a whatever, but always. Always, always, always.
Oh, absolutely.
Basically, turn up for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid advice. Gosh, one rule. What was the question? It was one rule that I live by.
Generally stick to in life.
Generally stick to.
That's the one that I generally stick to. All the others, I'm like, they come and go.
Okay. I think there's one rule. This is something that's really important to me, and that is just two words: finish it.
Yep.
Like, I'm big on, I got to complete something.
Yep.
Like, and that started for me when I wrote my first novel, and it was really important to me to complete that. It was really important because, for a few reasons, but mainly to show myself that I could do it. And because I had not written anything long form successfully, as in finished it, ever before that point. And
right.
I've been writing for a long time.
Right.
And I just couldn't.
Girl, no, I get that. The first time I ever finished something, it's huge. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to turning up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, truly, like, if you start something for yourself, finish it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a good question.
That was a
Anyways,
really good question. That was deep.
Okay, so another one from same person, Katie Roberts McBurnett. Mm-hmm. I was like, reading two names at the same time because that's how smart I am.
No, girl, I get it.
Do you ever become energetically overwhelmed when on the air?
Yes.
I'm going to let you go first.
That's absolutely... Okay, so after I get done with a podcast or two, usually what I do is record two in a sitting. But even if I just do one, after, unless it's like this, like, this is super low pressure. This is like, I'm with you, you know, you never make me feel that way. And it's not that other people do anything wrong to make me feel that way, but I feel a lot of pressure. And so when it's over, I have a big energy drop.
Right.
Like, it's like, it's kind of like my adrenaline goes up. And then after it's over, I'm like, I
think also a lot of that might come to with the fact that I literally sat on your couch and held your hand through the first one.
Yeah, you did.
And
you
sure I did. Was the one going, do it, yep. do it, do it. Yep. Like, so you know yep. that no matter what, even if
you're
it's like
team.
Not successful in the way that we want it to be,
right.
I'm not going to be like, well, that was a fucking disappointment.
Yeah, or, exactly.
That
was, you're like, not going to put a sign there's on no my pressure bedroom that there. Says loser's room.
Yeah, yeah. Here you are, loser.
There was, like, that yeah. was in a movie about gymnastics when I was a kid.
Oh,
there
God.
There was a mom who did that because her daughter won silver.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah, that was not uncommon.
There are
them.
Still parents like that.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of them.
There are.
Yeah.
There are.
Anyway.
What about you? Do you get...
I don't know. Okay, because I'm not on air as much as you are, but mm-hmm. I am, you know, I do lead a lot of things. Like, back whenever things were open,
yeah.
I did go and I spoke publicly
yeah,
quite a few times mm-hmm. and led writing groups and things. Mm-hmm. And I always feel energetically depleted before them.
Uh-huh.
And then after I'm okay.
Yeah.
After I'm okay.
During,
I think I worry myself. And
yeah.
during, I am
I'm
at the height
high.
Of, I'm at the height of my game.
Yes.
During,
same,
because
same.
I am very
I'm
much,
high, yeah.
yeah, I'm very much a, my anxiety leans into exuberance, I guess.
Yeah.
And I take it and I roll with it.
I was thinking, okay, so it kind of reminds me of the book signing that I did this past weekend. And you were like running that show. You were doing so great. You did awesome.
Thank you.
And that was kind of the same thing. Like, I was real anxious going into it because I was like, I don't know exactly what to expect. This is the first time I've ever done this. I hope it goes well. What does that mean? What does success mean for this event? You know, kind of all of these things are going through
my
head.
And I saw that and I was like, okay, we're going to let her worry about that and I'm going to manage everything else.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And the thing, like, and once I got in it, I was in my element. Like,
yeah,
once
you were there and people started showing
yeah.
up, I think, because I think your biggest fear was you were like, no one's going to come. And I was like, we're not even going to think like
that.
We're
not going to entertain
that. We're not even going to
yeah.
entertain that idea. We are just going to roll with the punches.
And it ended up crowded.
It
like,
did.
It
ended
cool.
up.
It was cool.
It did really
great
well.
Great turnout. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's the answer to that question. It definitely does deplete my energy.
See, and then afterwards, I am like, more balance. It's
yeah.
I am depleted before because I get
right.
anxious thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
I am more of a like, let's just dive in and get it over with
yeah.
kind of person. So like, if I have to expect it, I'm
that's
like,
hard.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, and it's awful.
I was having a rough week anyway last week. So like,
right.
that was that knowing that that was coming, I was like, and I'm not going to cancel it. Like, I'm not going to flake on this. And
right. Right.
But it was, man, it was tough, but I'm so glad that
I'm proud of
it.
You.
Yeah.
You did really well.
Same.
Okay, so if you could travel anywhere for free, what known paranormal spot would you like to investigate and why?
Ooh. I think I would say Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the Mothman.
Okay, that would be cool.
And I think it would be cool to see, like, a museum and maybe the festival if that was going on at the same time, you know?
I would like to go to Paris, and I would like to go to the Artist Cemetery
cemetery
in Paris. I can't
yes.
pronounce it because I can't remember the name of it exactly,
and
I am not about to butcher that on air, but
yeah.
I want to go see Jim Morrison,
yeah.
like, and Colette, and
yeah.
Oscar Wilde.
And people say that they've seen his ghost, right?
I'm not sure.
Or a ghost there or something. I don't know.
But I would love to go see Jim.
And Paris has got the catacombs.
Also, yep,
yeah.
There's also that. There's a lot of history in Paris that I think would be mm-hmm. really cool to see. But, like, do you know that the most people that go to that cemetery go for Jim Morrison?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, girl. They have, like, a million. Well, used to pre-pandemic. I don't remember how much time it's been, but or how it's different. It was like they would get over 1 million visitors a year.
Crazy.
And most of them went for Jim Morrison.
That is crazy. So that probably means, I mean, 1 million people spread out over 365 days. There are probably like multiple people standing in line to see.
Girl, they'd go like do crack on his tomb or some shit.
That's crazy.
I mean, like they have to have like lights on it and it
right.
has a security guard because there was a lot of destruction. And I was like, well, he's a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
And they only buried him there because, anyways, that's a whole nother
story.
No,
but yeah.
But they only buried him there because they were told he was an American poet. Yeah, that's how he got buried
sneaky,
there.
Sneaky.
Yeah, and he
sneaky,
used to
sneaky.
Go and, like, walk amongst the graves and, like, get all, like, inspired, you know, by
yeah.
death because he was so macabre.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
anyway, we won't go into all that. I fucking love Jim Morrison.
Another place I would say is either Los Angeles to go back and see some of the haunted stuff there
mm-hmm.
or see some of the crime scene stuff. And the other place might be New Orleans.
Always New Orleans.
Always New Orleans.
Always
that's
New Orleans.
Solid,
that's
yeah.
like everyone wants to go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, hello, I want to go see Marie Laveau.
Right.
Always. Like, come
same.
On, bitch. Bless me with some blessings
exactly.
already.
Same.
Anyways.
Yeah.
We hail the the Voodoo Queen.
Yeah.
I would also probably really be down to go and see where Mary Shelley is buried.
Yeah.
Queen of Goths. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be nice.
One of my favorite stories.
She's just like...
Cool. Cool as hell, man.
Girl, like, did you see that thing where it was like a quick gatekeeping goth? Peak goth happened with Mary Shelley. Y'all need to chill the fuck out, basically. Like, and I was like, amen. We will never be the queen.
Was it her mother or father's tombstone on which she had sex?
Her mother's. Okay. And she learned how to spell her name on her mother's tombstone because her mother had the same name as her.
Yeah, so if you've never done that.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, if you didn't carry around your dead husband's heart in a silk purse, you ain't peak goth.
Exactly. Okay? Let's try to not pretend it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah. She was fantastic. Right. Also, and you didn't write Frankenstein. So, chill, people on the internet.
The entire literary genre.
Yeah. And sci-fi. Dude, I just can't with all those groups that get on my nerves. No, anyways. Same. Okay, let's see. What would you say often causes the worst writer's block?
Depression and when I'm not taking care of myself. That I y'all know I have bipolar disorder. And one of the things, when you have bipolar disorder, is you need a schedule. Mm-hmm. You need a routine that you do every day because big swings, big changes are not good. And like, for me, it has to be like, I get up, I get ready, you know, whatever. I have the things that I do every day. And I am far more productive when I am not depressed. Like, that is the biggest writer's block for me. Because I just can't even get myself to, like, I can look at the screen and I can think about ideas. But then when it comes to, like, typing it out, I'm like, my God, this is too hard. Like, this is really hard and I don't like it.
I don't know when I get writer's block. Sometimes it's just, like, if I've stared at something for too long.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, because I hate that whole idea that you have to be inspired to write, because that's horse shit.
No.
Or I would never be inspired to write, probably.
A lot of times what happens is you get inspired the more you write.
Yeah, I do, definitely. Yeah. I think a lot of my stuff that gets really distracting is, like, lately I've been doing a lot of home renovation. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of projects.
When you have that stuff, like, over your head where you're like, I need to get this done.
Well, and it stresses me out, and I have extreme ADHD, and I...
You hyper-focus on it?
Yeah, and it's fucking rude, and I feel attacked by the internet because they're always making all of these ADHD memes, and I'm like, this is fucking rude, and David will send them to me because he's like, yeah, you do this. And I was like, yeah, rude.
Bipolar memes have not become normalized enough yet that I see them all the time, and I'm waiting for that. Because I'm ready to be attacked.
Girl, and you'll be attacked, and you ain't gonna like it. And like you're gonna be like, what the fuck?
Because some of those ADHD ones hit me, like, with the symptoms.
They're very similar. They're very similar. I've had psychiatrists try to like misdiagnose me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, bro, I've been ADHD literally my whole life. I am not bipolar. Like, my mom probably is.
Yeah.
Oops, I should probably not say that. Like, my stepdad was.
Uh-huh.
And like, I saw the swings, I saw the highs, I saw the lows, and I am always just up here.
Yeah.
Manic.
Yeah.
Cannot focus. Cannot do.
Right.
And things will bother me.
Yeah.
And you can be the most productive, non-productive person ever. Yeah. That is literally me all the time. I am the most productive, non-productive person I know.
I get that.
And that is a lot of my ADHD, and it will distract me. Like, house stuff distracts me. Mm. Summertime distracts me because it's so nice outside. And my friends, a lot of my friends are teachers. Mm. They're off work and I'm like, what are we doing? Let's go do things. Cause I feel like I haven't seen you in forever. Mm. Being locked in my house for too long will cause me to have writer's block.
Same. That
because I have to leave. Yeah. Like, I have to go do things. I have to be...
You have to have that outside stimulation to want to create once you're back. Like,
Like, you have to be able to step outside. Yeah. And
not just in your front yard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel, as a writer, we deal with a lot of human connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're writing a lot of human connection. And if you're disconnected with human connection... It's extremely hard to channel it, even if you know humans inside and out. It can be rough. Anyway, that was a whole fucking tangent
because
there's my ADHD kicking for you. Do ghosts or entities ever interrupt or make demands when you're writing? No.
So I'm going to take this a whole different direction. So not an actual ghost, but like my own ghosts. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Like, not anything physical, paranormal, anything like that.
Not paranormal, but more like things that haunt me from my own past.
Yeah, and like, because writing is cathartic.
It is.
It is very cathartic.
It's like that, it's like the line from Mrs. Potter's Lullaby, if dreams are like movies, then memories are films about ghosts.
I fucking love that song, and I'm so glad you actually like that song, because I've never met anyone who genuinely likes that song.
I love them. Like,
and I love the Counting Crows.
I love Counting Crows.
I'm a child of the 90s. What can I say?
I absolutely adore them.
And that's just such a good line. And it's so true.
And that's what every single book that I write is. That's a film about a ghost.
Girl.
Because it's all about, you know, my experiences in life and the people I've known and how they've affected me for better or worse.
Right.
And, you know, it's like that Anne
Everything is a lesson.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Be it good or bad.
Right. And that Anne Lamott quote, I love that. That is one of the things that I live by in my writing. And it says, if you wanted me to write warmly about you, you should have behaved better.
That's right.
And I love that.
Girl, that's right. Mm. And like, I feel that my ghost, like nothing physical. Like, yeah. Obviously that's what my no is for, is that it's nothing tangible. Like, yeah. Edgar's not visiting me.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I used to call my poltergeist when I was
a kid. Yeah.
But,
I remember that.
Yeah. Fun stuff. But no, it's more of like things that I haven't dealt with because I think I have a pretty solid handle on things that I have dealt with, but, it's more of like, and also a lot of it is self-introspection and self-evaluating, and like probably all of my villains are me.
Oh, yeah.
At some point in time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I very much, every character I write is me.
Yeah.
In some manifestation.
It's usually,
and there
like,
are also other people too. Maybe that's very narcissistic.
Well, it's
like,
for me, I don't know if you do it this way, but like, it's almost like if it's a piece of you, it's that piece amplified into someone else's.
Yeah,
into this
it's like
character.
A caricature.
Exactly.
Of a piece of yourself or a moment in your life.
Someone else. Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, also there was this thing, I think I wrote it, this was years ago, because I keep everything that I've ever written. Of course I do.
Yeah.
And it was talking about how probably every villain I've ever written has been my mother.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think it was like a poem, and I was like, and I wonder if I will be the villain in my daughter's stories.
Oh God. Yeah.
And that was before I even had kids.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, self projecting here.
Yeah,
we need
exactly.
to chill. Like
we
I was like 14.
Chill.
I was probably very,
we need to chill.
Very whatever.
Yeah.
But,
I project all the time. Like I do it really bad. Like I get in my own head and I'm like,
you got to step out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that writing is cathartic for that reason.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do think it is very much something that you do when you are haunted by ghosts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's why that Ernest Hemingway quote is like nothing. It's easy writing. There's nothing to it. You just sit down at a typewriter and
bleed.
Yeah. And that's how it feels. Like,
and then my other one, my favorite one that he actually said that is above my deal is write hard and clear about what hurts.
I love that one too.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even if you're writing something that's totally fantastical.
There's an element of truth in it.
Always.
Always.
Always. That's what makes it compelling.
Exactly.
Do you have a personal preference in spiritual protection? What?
No, I'm laughing.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm laughing because my thought was I probably should, but, but I don't. So I mostly I just pray about it afterwards.
Oh like, my God, you're
know,
so funny.
Like if I think I got myself into some shit, like I'm like, oh yikes, that's bad. No, actually, I mean there was that thing that we did in 2019 that was an act of spiritual and physical protection that was pretty out there. I'm not even going to talk about it because it was pretty out there.
Yeah.
And it's still out there also. Like, it's still out there. You know what I'm talking about. But
it's still working.
It's still working. But I would say spiritual protection. I wish I had a better answer for this because I feel like I should. But, like, So I have struggled a lot with spirituality. And I think I've struggled with this. Like, I struggled with it as a youth.
Why would I say a youth? We're so old. A youth.
I struggled as a youth. And,
just kidding.
And that was mainly with Christianity and growing up in the Church of Christ and like...
Welcome to Oklahoma, the Bible Belt, where a lot of things
where everyone
will damage you with religion.
Religious trauma.
Yeah, religious trauma. It runs rampant here.
Yeah, exactly. It's on every corner, just like the gas stations. But anyway, in the dispensaries. So,
and the churches. They all go hand in hand.
They all go hand in hand. We need the dispensary after you've got the religious trauma. Like, yeah, but anyway, no, I think lately my struggle has been I've become so skeptical that it's become a problem for me because it's almost like the wonder is being sucked out of a lot of the things that I used to think, oh, is this real? You know, whatever. And I think I need one of those moments where I discover something that I'm like, holy shit, like the missing 411 stuff. When I first discovered that, I was like, oh wow. You know, I need something to like reinvigorate that, but I'm struggling with spirituality right now. And I just have this mind that's kind of, I think that I guard myself against any kind of like slightly woo-woo thinking because I always think everyone will judge me harder because I have bipolar disorder.
Which is an inaccurate thing because we have talked about this.
Exactly. Yeah.
We won't share that with the world because that's a very private conversation.
Yeah.
But like,
No, but you know what I mean.
Like, but I get what you mean. Like, I also feel like, okay, because you know, my spirituality is I always tell people that I am an agnostic that leans more towards atheism.
Okay.
In the fact that I don't believe in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I've seen some shit and I've seen whatever, but like I don't believe in a higher power. Mm-hmm. I would like to. Mm-hmm. That's where the agnosticism comes in, is that I want to think that there's better than there is. Mm-hmm. But I am a cynic and I am very cynical because I have watched a lot of people get damaged by religion. I've watched a lot of people struggle with sexual identity. And not just religion, like with spiritual practices, because just because it's Christianity or just because it's like out there, like New Age, I got a lot of feelings on New Age practices now because a lot of people who are discovering New Age, they want Christianity packaged in a different wrapping paper. They want rules, they want whatever. And I'm like, that is not for me. Spirituality is what works for you.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people have hit me up about this. Like I'm like a religious guru and I don't believe in anything.
Oh my God.
No, or spiritual guru. Ooh. And I'm not really, but,
you're like, no thanks.
You know, I was actually talked to recently about something like this, about like seeing signs and like people struggling with, spirituality.
Yeah.
And what I can say to that is if it feels right, go with it.
Yeah.
And whatever feels like it's protecting you. It is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's the energy you give it.
Yep.
Like that kind of thing. It's like the yellow trucks. Like,
yep. It's the yellow trucks.
And like we said, if you ever need a for sure sign, you just go by that corner of 4th and Broadway and there's always a yellow truck.
Always a yellow truck there.
Always a yellow truck.
Always. So you're always going to have, a good time. Okay. What tips would you give to other people in the paranormal community who are into investigating?
Read. Reach out to people that are in your area that do that. Never be too arrogant to learn. Let people teach you.
That's a good lesson for all communities. Yeah. Never be too arrogant to learn.
Yeah. Because I'm still even that way with writing. Like, I'm never too arrogant to learn. Like,
same.
You know, like, and I think it applies to any hobby or any discipline. And also, like, my advice would be, just kind of get involved in the community and see what resonates with you or who resonates with you that you think you might want to learn from. And just pursue that. Because most people are very happy to talk about something they're passionate about.
Yeah.
So like if somebody hit me up about writing, I would be super like stoked to talk about this is what worked for me, you know. Go.
I mean, you've seen me. Yeah. I'm always giving sermons
about
writing and about things like that, so like, because that's what I do.
Exactly.
So
definitely like reach out to the people that are doing what you want to do basically.
Yeah.
And see what they do. Go see if you can join them on an investigation and most of them will be more than happy to let you.
And any of them that are dicks about it are not worth your time anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like you don't want to, if somebody's a dick, just pass, like
pass
next,
on them.
Next.
Pass.
Thank you next.
Thank you next. That's right. Queen Rihanna or not Rihanna. That's
Ariana Grande.
There we go.
And I always think of the version from Bridgerton.
Yes, girl. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, I know this is an Okie podcast, but have you experienced spooky things in other states? Do you have a favorite?
Okay. So Spookiest thing I've ever experienced in another state. Okay, so I stayed when I was about, I want to say I was like 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, not quite 20, not quite 19. We went to the Delaware Hotel in Leadville, Colorado. And in that same town, there is a opera house. So Leadville was a silver mining town. And there was this lady who came there who I believe, I don't want to like misspeak or anything, but I think she...
Okay, so what happened to you? Let's just go to that if we don't know the story.
Well, basically, she married this silver miner.
Okay.
Got really rich. She used to be poor. She married this silver miner. And then she bought an opera house.
Okay.
And then he croaked. And she spent all his money and became destitute.
Okay.
And so they had this silver mine. Obviously, like, it ran out or whatever. She would sit in her rocking chair in the entrance and, like...
Rock.
Talk to the ghosts of the men that had died in her husband's silver mine.
Oh, that's fucked up.
It's creepy. So you can go there. You can also go to the opera house.
Mm-hmm.
And that opera house was hella creepy. But we stayed at the Delaware Hotel, which is in that town. It's also haunted. And I never actually saw anything, but I swear to you, there was something in that room.
Like, it felt heavy.
It felt heavy. Yeah. So that's probably my favorite place I went out of state that might be haunted. So.
Okay. Have you or your friends ever had any personal experiences with the paranormal, ghosts, or et cetera?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. To put it simply, yes.
Yeah. And most of those stories I am not allowed to tell. Because they are very personal and,
right.
And a lot of times it's when people will tell me, you know, people I know and really care about will be like, this happened to me. You can never tell it on the podcast because people will think I'm crazy.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I am with my own paranormal experience, because I'm like, you legitimate, like if I told you what my serious paranormal experience was in my life, it would make me feel so vulnerable. Because
it is vulnerable. It's like spirituality.
Yeah, exactly. And it ties into like the mental illness thing again, because yep. I'm not convinced that I didn't hallucinate, you know,
right.
Like, that sort of thing. And
I do have one that for sure was like paranormal and not necessarily like a poltergeist of my own teenage angst making. Okay. And that is whenever my mother and I were moving out. She was leaving my stepdad, and we were moving out to this 3-story townhouse downtown. They're still there. They're across from St. Anthony's. And at the time we were moving there, we went to visit one.
Okay.
And it was the exact same as the one that we moved into. Uh-huh. Eventually, it was available sooner. But I was like, we were walking around it, and my mom was like, Do you like it? And I said, I like the look of it, but I don't want to stay in this one. I was like, can we wait for the other one? And she was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Well, come to find out, it was like either a maintenance man or a janitor or somebody had killed themselves there.
Wow.
And it just felt weird.
That's crazy.
While we were living there, another maintenance man or janitor or whatever he was to this company killed themselves in that place.
I did not remember that part of this story. That is so creepy. Oh
yeah.
My God.
So it was like not fun. And then whenever me and David, when we moved out into our first duplex, into our first place on our own, I went with my daughter and I took her, and we were checking it out, and she like disappeared. And she disappeared into the second bedroom that eventually became basically the storage room for her stuff.
Okay.
And she was in the closet in the dark, sitting by herself, just staring at the walls.
Uh-uh.
And that room always felt so heavy.
Yeah.
And there was always a shadow on the window, even though there was nothing by it. And she had night terrors whenever she slept in it.
Yeah.
So she did not sleep in that room. She slept with us. Yeah. So I feel like, and maybe that's not paranormal, but maybe it is that dwellings have energy.
Yeah.
And there was a thing I was reading the other day that says you should always talk to your house.
Yeah. That's the shit I'm dealing with right now.
It's like you should always talk to your house and you should always thank it for being there so that it, you know, doesn't, I guess, bite you in the ass.
Yeah. Cause it can.
And then, okay. So if you could pit any mythical creatures against each other in a battle to the death, who would you pick and why? Who would win?
I fucking love this question.
I figured you would like it.
Okay, so, my first pick is going to be a werewolf, because I feel like we're talking like major chaotic energy strength like adrenaline rush, kind of like mom lifting her car off her baby.
Me ripping a chair in half because I was pissed.
Yes. That kind of, that's what they're bringing.
I turn into a werewolf whenever I'm mad.
Because they're a werewolf. You know what exactly. I mean? Like lots of strength, lots of power.
Love werewolves.
But I'm thinking that they don't have quite a lot of like cognitive kind of like strategic.
No, I think it's pure rage.
It's pure rage. It's animalistic.
Yep.
So I'm going to pit one of those against... Shit.
They're always done well whenever they're pitted against vampires.
Exactly.
It's always vampires, werewolf versus vampires.
That's classic.
Classic.
So let's say vampires, because I love vampires too, and I know a lot about vampires. So we're thinking Lestat kind of vampire, very cruel, very like, doesn't give a shit, he'll do anything, fight dirty.
And doesn't mind getting dirty.
Exactly.
Like real vampire energy.
Yeah, there. Real vampire energy, like just straight up cruelty.
Yeah.
Like, I think between a vampire and a werewolf, so vampires also have the strength, but I'm going to say they have a little bit less strength, but they have more strategic ability.
Smarts, not brawn.
Yeah. So I think, oh God, I think the vampire would win.
I think it depends.
Yeah, I think it depends too.
I think it depends.
I think it depends on this. I think it depends on how arrogant the vampire is.
That?
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the time of the month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if we're going classic werewolf, full moon cycle, 3 days of strength cycle, if they're fighting in the early part of the month or like under the new moon, how would the new moon affect the vampire or the werewolf? Yeah. And then the vampire, what if it's in the day?
Also, has the vampire fed lately?
Yeah. Is he hungry?
Is he hungry?
But then again, maybe hungry, because I know that a lot of times that they make it where hunger is like essential to weakness. It makes them weak. But what if it doesn't? What if it makes them more feral? Sure. Yeah. What if it makes them more desperate? What if it makes them more deadly?
That's what I've always thought is that it might put them at a disadvantage because they're willing to take more risks.
Yeah.
But I think it might also give them a little bit of that werewolf animalistic kind of like, I have to feed, I don't care.
Right, because at the end of the day, they're both damned creatures.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if the vampire's super arrogant and he thinks like, fuck this werewolf, like this is a stupid fucking werewolf, you know, whatever they say to each other when they're talking shit about to fight, like that vampire's gonna get killed by the werewolf.
But of course.
If we're talking like a vampire who is like humble enough to acknowledge threats completely and assess them and be very cool, calm, and collected,
well,
that
and
werewolf
what if,
is gonna die.
And what if you have a cognitive werewolf? Who is good and in control
then
of their
animal.
Then
that vampire's going to die.
They're fucked.
They're fucked. They're fucked. Absolutely. If the werewolf is
Because the werewolf would have enough strength to...
Overpower.
Okay, if your vampire dies by the light of the sun, he'd probably be like, oh, I'm going to fuck this guy up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch him burn in the morning.
I'm going to do it in the day.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we're talking a very smart
We're talking
werewolf.
Like Hills Have Eyes werewolves.
Yeah, like smart as fuck werewolf. That vampire's fucked.
He's fucked.
Would take a werewolf any day against any other mythical creature. A werewolf that knows its own mind.
Okay. So my favorite thing to pit anything against, obviously, is because of what I like to write. I like to write angels versus demons.
Mm.
And I like to think that they're
both
equal.
Yeah.
Sorry about you.
And like strength and...
Well, they're the same.
They're the same thing. Yeah.
Essentially. So like my favorite thing is it just depends on who the angel is, who the demon is, and what the scenario is. And at any given time, you guys know me, I like evil to win. But so usually I'm like, Lucifer better be coming out on top. Because one, he's got two really hot statues. So I kind of need that to be sticking around.
Girl, you need to be reading Paradise Lost because Satan is the hero of that story.
I have been reading Paradise Lost.
Oh, God, so good.
I love, 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 love. Anyways, I probably shouldn't love, probably going to hell, but we've established that.
Already, we're both
It's cool. It's cool. I figure this, like, if hell's real, I will just become the queen of hell. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
I could be a demon.
I will let you marry me, Satan daddy.
I'll wear shorts that say
Satan is my daddy.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I will buy a pair of these before I die and be like,
be buried in them.
I brought some shorts.
I'm ready. Oh my God.
I'm going to hell.
That's
anyway. Okay. So let's see. Have you ever heard any stories about the mysterious booms throughout Oklahoma. Linda Moulton Howell, or Howe, excuse me, not okay. Howell. Linda Moulton Howe covered them on an episode of Coast to Coast AM a few years ago and said several people had heard what sounded like loud booms with a few closely resembling a trumpet noise. There was nothing to indicate these sounds were man-made.
Okay, so I actually have, I think I talked to someone about this a while back. Is that the one that's got the really nice message ahead of it about the mailman?
I didn't see one about the mailman. No. I mean, I guess, no, it's at the very top.
Oh, okay.
So it's just about
somebody said they were a mailman and they really enjoyed the podcast while they were doing their route. And I thought that was very nice. Like that really made my evening.
Well, I was saving that one for last, but go ahead.
Okay. We'll edit this then. Okay.
So, I figured you'd edit my butchering of that name anyway. Thank you.
Okay. So I have actually heard of this. I haven't done a lot of digging into it, but I need to because somebody told me about that. And there are a few places in the United States I know of and probably the world where they have these weird noises.
You know what they are?
What?
Teenage aliens.
Teenage aliens, yeah. Through
the no-fly zone.
Exactly. Driving and like,
let's go fucking fuck with the underdeveloped community.
Exactly. The quarantine zone.
I'm gonna be that guy that's like on Ancient Aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens. Like, I'm gonna be him because that's probably what that is.
Girl, for real. No, I have not done a whole lot of looking into it, but I'm going to now.
Okay, good. So. Good plan. Okay, and Justin Avera says, I really enjoy your podcast. I'm a mailman, and your podcast makes the long, hot days of delivering mail so much more enjoyable. My questions are, so let's go with the first one. What inspired you to do this podcast?
So actually, what inspired the podcast was I knew I needed a platform for my writing, and I've always loved horror and spooky stuff, and that was what I was writing, and I thought, well, that will work. And I did not expect anyone to listen to it. I really did not.
I told her it'd do well.
Yeah, she did. She did. She told me it would do well. And I was like, you think like in the first week I got 33 downloads and I was like, I'm pretty sure every single one of those, but maybe five are people that share my DNA, but like, and maybe my friends, but,
it grows, girl. It grows.
It has grown. It has grown a lot and it's kind of crazy. Yeah, that was kind of where it started. And then the podcast kind of became this like beast of its own.
Well, and I told you, mama don't gas up jalopies.
That's right. Yeah,
that's why I was like, we're going to sit on this couch. We're going to do this. And I believe in you.
Yeah.
And look at it.
And I think one of the moments that I was like, okay, it must be pretty good is when you told me that your husband listens to it.
Yep.
Like not forced to listen to it.
Well, because I don't listen.
Right.
I cannot listen to podcasts unless I'm on like really, really long trips by myself.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember what I say. So don't expect me to remember shit. Yeah. And then Marnie will tell me about stories that she talks with other people about. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah. And I will know from that. But like, I never hear anything firsthand.
Right.
Because I'm never on long trips anymore. Mm-hmm. So sorry, I'm a terrible friend.
No, you're not.
David does listen.
Yeah.
And so do my kids.
That makes me feel like a million bucks.
So I feel like I'm being made up for.
Yeah. I feel like a million bucks for your kids to like it. That makes me happy.
Okay. So yeah, platform for writing.
And also, the other thing about it was that my dad and I, when I was little, he would, so somebody brought up Coast to Coast in one of the last questions. So he would have this radio going in his office at night and it would have Coast to Coast on. He would listen to that because he was working real late. And anytime I'd come in there, I'd be like, I'd hear the radio and I'd go in there and he would say, now you got to put on your tinfoil hat if you're going to come in here and listen to this with me. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah. Like I was so excited. And it was like this sweet kind of like father-daughter thing.
Bonding moment.
And I would go in there and I'd listen to these stories these people are telling. And my dad's kind of like, you know, smirking, but I'm like,
this is real
shit. This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where the topic material, where I was kind of shooting for, so.
Okay, that's a good topic to maybe do something for. It says, have you thought about doing an episode on Joan Gay Croft, who was kidnapped after surviving a tornado in 1947, and the disappearance of Marjorie and Melinda Easton? I think I said that right, mother and daughter who disappeared in 1963 while driving to visit some friends and weren't found until the 90s in their car at the bottom of Lake Hefner.
Oh my God, I didn't know about that second one. I have thought about doing the first one. My mom actually suggested the Joan Gay Croft thing because we had talked about that. But that second one, I had not heard of.
I hadn't heard of that either.
That's amazing. Okay, yeah, I'm going to look into both of those.
Oklahoma and it's weird-ass shit. Yeah. Anyways, okay, and so final question. What are some of your favorite Oklahoma legends or haunting stories?
So I am a 90s girl. Like, I am hardcore into the 90s. And the late 80s and stuff. Like,
I'm a late 80s, 90s girl, yeah.
Girl, so I'm going to say, I got to go with the Purple Church. Because there is...
We all heard about the Purple Church.
I didn't hear about it growing up.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I heard about it as an adult. But my thing about it, what I love about that...
Was I the one who told you about it?
Possibly.
I think so. Maybe?
Okay.
I think so.
Because we were talking about
urban legends.
Because
I remember we went and, like, tried to find it.
We did. Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah.
And I was like, you've never heard of the Purple Church?
We did not trespass.
We did not. We drove by. We don't do that. We're not afraid of ghosts, but we are afraid of bullets.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, the Purple Church is probably my favorite because... So, it's like this, like...
Satanic panic bullshit.
It's got the satanic panic going on. It's got a real murder, multiple murders tied into it.
Yep.
And it's got the, like, the youngest person ever executed in the United States or the state of Oklahoma. I can't remember which one it is, but... Like,
I can't remember.
Sean Sellers was the youngest person to be executed by either us or the United States. And
one or the other.
One or the other. Either way, record-breaking. But...
oh, yay! Fun and, record to break.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I should
not
have
said really,
that.
But no.
But I mean,
girl,
but, you know,
it's not
like
your
a,
fault that
a,
it happened.
It's a historical thing, you know, like, and I think it just ties into this kind of like that energy of the 80s, 90s, kind of like.
Man, oh my God, you remember, okay, so like feeding off of that, because I would say definitely the Purple Church, because we all know if you have skulls and wear black and listen to heavy metal, you're going to hell, so. Riding to hell, driving the bus, whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. No,
and,
I get it.
And, like, my family, like, my mom's family, not my, like, Hispanic family, they were probably saved from a lot of my shit because I didn't see them as often. It was that my family, I think, was convinced that I was on the highway to hell in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Because I listened to rock music and metal. Yeah. And, like, music was my life.
I wasn't
allowed. Wore black. Like, my grandparents gave me $200 one time for my birthday, which was weird, like, because they didn't usually do that. But because they hated my clothes so much, they were like, they assigned my uncle to take me to the mall to buy clothes that were not dark colored. I was not allowed to buy anything black. And I was like, I don't want anything then.
Yeah.
So I did not spend any of my money.
That's crazy. Oh,
I was like, you can keep your fucking money.
Yeah.
Metal till death. So, like... You
metal
know, but
AF.
Like but I remember they were always watching like 60 Minutes, Diane Sawyer, all of that shit. And it was always on. It was like we were inundated with all of this satanic panic. Uh-huh. Your kids are going to like wind up eating babies. Like it's like the shit that QAnon now believes
was on
like,
60 Minutes.
Was on 60 20, Minutes
30 years ago.
Like with the fucking satanic panic. Now they've just gone even more balls to the wall and you're like,
and the internet has made it easier.
Yeah, and like, I could not imagine like going through that on the internet now.
Oh, Jesus.
Like we would all like oh my God, we would all
like,
be
was,
like in trouble.
Oh my God, it was, and I remember even Columbine, like there was this panic over goths, you know, like
which is
like,
really misinformed,
right? Because
hugely misinformed.
They
and even though Marilyn Manson is like a giant piece of shit of a human, like nobody's shocked by that.
Yeah,
his music was not the reason that they shot up a school. Like I should not laugh. Like more of me, I'm like laughing. Like people are idiots.
Yeah,
For believing that, like. One of those kids was popular. Like,
oh, yeah. The last interaction that he had with any of the other students before he started killing people was being hollered at by a group of girls as he drove in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there is a lot of misinformation about Columbine. And go listen to the last podcast on the left about Columbine. It's really, really good, especially for those of us that lived through it and can remember that day and everything like that. So, but yeah, and I wanted to, I think that's all the questions, isn't it?
That is all of
okay.
them.
And I wanted to shout out to everybody who asked questions. Samantha, Katie Roberts McBurnett, Michelle McGuire. She's such a sweet, sweet person. I really always enjoy hearing from her. Katie Hightower, Justin Avera. The message about the mail stuff was just, it really got me. Like that made me feel really good. And Amy Reese, who's been on the podcast. Amy, hi. So anyway, I guess that's all I got for you. I'm glad I got my voice back. Now it's starting to go again because my allergies are starting to flare up. But got anything you want to plug?
No, not currently.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've been doing so much work.
Yeah.
I mean, I have.
No, but you've been doing other stuff besides, like, writing.
Like I said, most productive, non-productive person I know.
No, the stuff you've been doing is productive. Like, don't be hard on yourself. So, anyway, follow me on Facebook, on Instagram, at Arioki, and I am on my Facebook page with my writing, which is Martin Evenge, and join the Facebook group, Ariokis. We're definitely going to do a book signing again. That was so much fun. I probably won't do it until like this time next year, I'm thinking. But that was a blast. Thank you to everybody who came out. That was super, super fun. And I don't think I have anything else for you guys. Y'all stay spooky.